Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome. My name is Howell, Pastor Howell. Most of you will know me by now. Welcome to the chapel for our carol service. Let me start the service then by reading to you some words from the Bible, and then we'll pray together, and then we'll start singing, okay? These words come from one of the holy angels that was sent to this planet not too long ago. He said at the birth of the Lord Jesus, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus to this world, that we would have a hope of peace, peace within ourselves and in our families and our homes, even within our communities, and one day, Lord, for the whole world, when every knee bows and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We thank you, Lord, that in this dark world, you have turned the lights on by sending Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. We ask that you'd help us to know him better, to see him, to love him with all of our hearts, and so know what real life is. In his name we ask this, and for our good, amen. All right, we'll start with 171, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, we've got a lot of hymns to sing tonight, okay? So that we don't run out of puff, we're only going to sing some verses from each hymn, right? So 171, and we'll sing the first two verses, okay? 171, the first two verses. Just checking that you can all hear me okay. Yes? Okay, good. Let me know if you can't and we'll turn the volume up. So we're going to have a number of readings through the Bible this evening. And the first one comes from our brother Joe. He's going to read to us from Micah chapter 4. You know, the Old Testament in the Bible is full of prophecies that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come into the world. And this one from Micah 4 gives us a hint, or gives the world a hint as to what's going to happen. It says that when Jesus comes into the world, all the nations will come to him and learn how to live real life when listening to him. Thank you, Joe.
So, Micah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever.
Thank you, Joe. So now we're going to sing again number 176, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and we'll sing verses 1 and 4. Another one of the Old Testament prophets was named Isaiah. He's a little bit better known, I think, than Micah. And in Isaiah chapter 53, he gives us another prophecy that says that the Lord Jesus won't just teach people who come to him how to live real life and how to know real peace with themselves and with others, but he will also bear their faults and their sins and carry them away. What a great promise. And our brother Malcolm is going to come to read us from Isaiah's prophecy. Thank you, Malcolm.
As Howell said, it's from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 to 6, and then verse 12. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Like someone from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We have all gone astray like sheep. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen.
Thank you, Malcolm. So, yes, now we'll sing again number 178, See Amid the Winter's Snow. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5 of 178. So we've just read two prophecies from the Old Testament about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the amazing things he's going to do. But I'm telling you, there are countless of them. And we just picked two of the top 10 hits, okay? But now we're going to have two readings back to back about the coming of the Lord Jesus in our days and times. In due time, the Lord Jesus did in fact come to do all that was said about him and then some. We're going to hear first off from Debbie Thompson, Matthew chapter 1, where the Lord Jesus' birth is prophesied to Joseph, and the angel tells them, you are to name him Jesus. And in this reading, we learn why his name is Jesus. So listen out, and you'll learn why he was named Jesus. And straight after that, we're going to have Nancy is going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 2, which tells us all about when you meet Jesus, you can't help but sing for joy. All right, so thank you, Debbie.
Okay. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Christ, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after considering this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen.
This reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Amen.
I love Simeon's song in particular. He holds baby Jesus in his arms and he says, I have seen your salvation. And now I'm ready to die in peace because I've seen and I've met the Lord Jesus. We're going to sing again number 274, 274, Joy to the World. And we'll sing verses 1 and 4 of 274. We've had a couple of babies born in the church, not literally in the church, thankfully, but to the church, if you like, in the last year. And when you have babies, you've got them in your family. When you have babies in the family, people come to visit them, and they might come from far and wide. One of the ladies in chapel had a granddaughter this week, in Australia. She's going to have to travel a long way now to see this granddaughter. And we don't mind because we love him. When baby Jesus was born, these wise men came from the other side of the world, from the east, to visit the baby Jesus. Now, when people come to visit our babies, it's usually, oh, isn't that nice? And they take them in their arms and they give them a kutch. But I don't know if you've ever seen grown men with great esteem and rank and honor in the world bow down and worship a baby. Well, that's what happened when Jesus was born. Our brother Ray is going to come and read to us now from Matthew chapter 2 about just that. Thank you, Ray.
Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." After they had heard the king, the magi went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen.
We'll sing again 162. As with gladness, men of old are singing about these wise men who came to worship the baby Jesus. 162, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Okay, 1, 2, and 4 of 162. We're still celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ in 2023, and the reason we call it 2023, the year of our Lord, is because the whole world has yet to get over what happened. That all those prophecies came true, that God took flesh, lived our life, died our death, fulfilled all these amazing promises and then some, and is transforming lives even today. We haven't got over it yet, and that's why we're here today. the apostles, that's the people that Jesus sent into the world to spread the good news about him, they wrestled with this too, trying to come to terms with the glory of what's happened to them in the world. And we're going to hear now from Debbie. She's going to read three separate little passages which try to encapsulate what the apostles thought of what had happened when Jesus came into the world. Thank you, Debbie.
Okay, so from 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to the ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Since the people have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death.
You have to forgive me, I'm trying to keep it together because that's such good news, isn't it? What a great story. What a great message. Right, we'll sing one more time, okay, before I get to speak to you. 165, 165, verses 1 and 3, Child in the Manger, Infant of Mary, 165. Let's take some time to pray together then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing this world with a story that is so good that many of us have trouble believing that it could possibly be true, that God in heaven would take flesh for us, that he would live our life with us and for us, that he would give his life to fix us and to pick us up when we're down. Oh, Father, thank you for this good news, and we pray that you would give us faith to believe it, that our God has loved us so much that he has given his own Son so that whoever believes in him might have everlasting life. We thank you for his great love by which he has stooped into our world for us, and we pray, Lord, that now you would bless us with his words, that we might hear him speaking to us through his Spirit, that we might know his gospel, his Spirit, his life, his truth. Father, open and soften our hearts, we pray. Open our ears and make us fertile ground for your word of truth, that we might know what it is to really live through the Lord Jesus. Amen. Right. I got two pieces of good news for you. One is you don't have to stand up and sit down for a little bit. And the other piece of good news is you get to listen to me tell you the best story you've ever heard. The story of Jesus Christ coming to the world. You'll have to forgive me. I need to take my jumper off. I'm getting warm, okay? You can watch me struggle. There we are. Those of you, most of you will know this. The Bible is a book of two parts. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Are you clever? You are. And each of those two testaments can be summarized in just three words. The Old Testament says, Jesus is coming. And the New Testament says, Jesus has come. And that's why the whole Bible can be summarized as good news. It is all about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world to do what his Father sent him to do. The two Old Testament readings that we had this evening told the ancient church at the time what it would be like when Jesus Christ would come into the world. The prophet Micah described a picture. Do you remember what it was right at the beginning? Joel read it to us. Micah described the nations of the whole world, even Wales, flocking, and it uses the word streaming. That's good, isn't it? The nations streaming to Jesus' house to hear from him. Everyone who would come to Jesus, Jesus gathers them together and unites them into a new humanity. Doesn't the world need some of that today? Some unity. He gathers the fragments from the world who come to him, trusting in him, and he puts them together into a new family, and he teaches them how to live a new life. You got that in Micah 4 and verse 2. Come, the nations say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he, that is Jesus, will teach us his ways, so that we might walk in his paths. When people meet Jesus and learn to follow him, the result is a deep peace. Peace between people, and peace between people and God. And when we trust in Jesus and follow him, we get that immediately. Peace. Peace deep down inside that you can't find anywhere else. Peace with God. Peace with the world that you live in. Peace with others. And you get it ultimately in the new earth. You get a foretaste of it now when you trust Jesus. And it's a down payment that you'll have it in full one day. And I dare say you have either known this yourself or you have seen it in people who've changed because they met Jesus. You have a peace inside. It's hard to explain. Now that prophecy, that promise that Micah gives us about Jesus is a tremendous promise, isn't it? It's a great promise to human beings who all have inside a deep instinctive desire to be connected with God. And at the same time, a nightmarish sense that there is more to life than life. What a great promise to those of us who take life seriously and want to know, what is this God stuff? What is life all about? What is it in the end? The promise here is that when we come to Jesus, we meet someone who has been sent by the Father to reconcile us to God and to give us peace and real life, to teach us what real life is and how to live it. The second Old Testament prophecy that we had this evening was from Isaiah. Do you remember what it said? It's a famous one, Isaiah 53. If you've gone to hear Handel's Messiah, you will have heard it there as well. The Lord Jesus is coming into the world not only to teach us how to truly live, but also to die our death. You see, by selfish and loveless living, you and I have earned punishment from the living God. That's the bitter truth. But because he loves us so much, he has given his Son so that whoever believes in him will not have to perish, but can have everlasting life. Let me just find the way that Isaiah puts it so beautifully, so famously. He says, although we have earned this punishment from God, he loves us so much that he sends us Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes, that is, by the wounds that he had from flogging, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned, every one of us, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. I was struck, actually, maybe for the first time, while it was being read today by Debbie, you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, if you'd like, you can water down the character of Jesus as much as you like, but his name is always Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is why he came, the glorious promise that is given to us, the wonderful promise given to us who are honest enough to admit that we are not good inside. And try as we might, we cannot seem to bring ourselves to deny ourselves and to live well. The Lord Jesus has come not only to teach us what true life is and to show us how to live it, he has come to take away our guilt, to take away its consequences, to make us good, to make us like himself, that we might be saved by trusting in him and following him. So that's those two prophecies that were given to us earlier. Now, some people think that the Bible is make-believe, that it's wishful thinking, that it's fairy stories. Do you think that? Do you know people who think like that? Well, to billions of people around the world and through history, the Bible seems quite different. It seems to be brutally honest with us, doesn't it? A bit too mature for us to handle. Realistic about what we are like. The Bible recognizes our failures. It makes us face up to them. It points us to a gracious Savior who can remake us. The Bible says that we fall short of why we have been made. Romans 3:23 is a famous one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us, as if we couldn't work it out for ourselves, that we don't love God. We don't love others rightly, do we? We can hardly even love ourselves. Let me ask you this question then. Who in your life have you hurt the most? Isn't it your loved ones? The people we hurt most in our life are the people we're meant to love. And what things in life do you love the most? Is it not things that are bad for us? Generally, we love things that we get addicted to. We love things that are all about us and for us and not for others. We're sick in our souls. The Lord Jesus, born a baby, but he grew up and he preached afterwards, didn't he? He preached. And he says in Mark 7, verse 20 through 23, he says this about you. He says, it is what comes out of someone that defiles them. For what comes from within, out of the heart of people, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries, fornications and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Jesus says, all these evil things come from within. Have you ever been aware of that sort of thing? You go through patches in your life when you're more aware of this. And so what you do is you try to brush up and do a bit better. You try to work hard. I've been there myself. And what you do is you try to turn over a new leaf. Have you tried that? Have you ever noticed how quickly autumn comes round again when you try to turn over a new leaf? Isaiah 64 and verse 6 is quite striking on this. He says, we are all like an unclean thing, and our righteousness, all of our righteousnesses, as much as you can get of it, is like filthy rags. We all fade away like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have driven us away. So the Bible is brutally honest with the sort of situation we find ourselves in inside. But the good news from Micah and Isaiah, as well as Moses and Jeremiah and Daniel and all the others, and then you can add the apostles in too, is that it needn't stay that way. It doesn't have to be like that, you know. That we're messed up inside. And that our world and our families and our homes can be so awful sometimes. It doesn't have to be like that, because a baby has been born, and his name is Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Would you like to stream to him as well? I would. Lord, save me from my sins. Show me and teach me real life. Let me tell you a story. There was a local fella And he was taking a walk up on the common on the top there, you know, where the quarry is. And as he was walking, through a hole he fell. Underground, he fell into a hole, and he was stuck. And on the way down, he hit his head. So when he hit the bottom, he was confused about which way was up and which way was down. And as he was trying to escape, sometimes he would dig that way, sometimes he would dig further down, and he could never get back up. When he hit the bottom, he broke both his arms and both his legs, poor fella. He could not get out. Sometimes he tried, but it was futile and exhausting. And so he was down there for a long time. He got depressed, especially when it got dark. Sometimes he thought, maybe this is how life is meant to be, dark and horrible. Sometimes he daydreamed to try and forget about it all. When he was hungry, he started to eat the rocks, and he started to drink the puddles that were down the hole until he thought he was full. But really, he was just bloated and still hungry. Sometimes he thought, maybe I've already died. What does this man need down his hole? Not a what? A who? He needs a friend. He needs someone who can lift him out of his hole. That's what he needs. The Bible reveals the fact to us that we are people in need. We need an education about what real life really is and how to live it. We need that prophecy of Micah. We need salvation. We need forgiveness, someone to take away all the bad. We need Isaiah's prophecy. You see, we've wandered off and we have fallen into a hole. We have hit our heads on the way down and now we are jolly well confused. I think I'm right, aren't we? Even about really basic things. What's left and right politically anymore? What's a man? What's a woman? What's a child? What's an adult? What's good and bad? What's life and death? What's right and wrong? Where's heaven? What's hell? We're confused. We get so mixed up and we don't even know the half of it. And because we've fallen down this hole, we're broken people. We've been broken by others. Have you been broken by others? Do you carry marks in yourself that others have left on you? We're broken by self too. The things that we do to others and the things that we do to ourselves, the choices we make, they break us. Sometimes we're so broken we think we're okay. No matter how hard we try, we cannot climb up out of our deadened life. And sometimes we try to fill up on what's around us, like this man down the hole, you see. We fill up on Amazon, on box sets. We might try and fill up on family with stuff or promotions. Maybe it's popularity, recognition, power, relationships, that's a big one. We try to fill up our lives with what's around us, but we just get bloated and we stay hungry. And sometimes, when it's really dark, we wonder, maybe I've already died. I feel dead inside. When I die, I can't imagine it's much different from this. Maybe this is how life is supposed to be. What do we need? Not a what? A who? That's what we need. We need someone who's going to come into our hole to pick us up out of it. The Christmas story is the story of when the Son of God, just as promised by God the Father down the ages, came to lift us up out of our hole. The Lord Jesus came into the world and he shone a light from somewhere else that nobody had ever seen down here before. A light from heaven shone into our world. He taught with words that nobody had ever heard before, teaching full of grace and truth and power. He told us the truth, and it was right, and it was good. He showed us how to live. He gathers folk from all over the world into a new and everlasting family, which will outlast the very world that we live in. He shows people even today how to truly live, and even how to die. Even with an otherwise inexplicable contentment which overflows all circumstances. Have you seen that in people? Have you seen Jesus do that to someone? They meet with Jesus and now it's like they've become sweetened. Jesus is like a human sweetener, you see. He drops in peace, hope, love, contentment, real life. Since Jesus is the beloved Son of God, who is God in a loving union of three, he knows what he is on about when he tells us what love is and how to do it. And I can tell you now, he is worth listening to. He helps us up out of the holes that we find ourselves in, and he can give us a new, everlasting, irrepressible life. But, and I'm finishing with this, okay, so don't worry. To help us up out of a hole, he has to first get into the hole. He doesn't have a very long rope that stretches down from heaven down to us where we are. He loves us too much for that. He gets down into our hole with us. Praise be. Philippians 2 says this: Jesus, in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped at, but he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a slave, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. God humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Almighty King of the universe, joined us in our human mess, and he knows what it's like to live in that hole. He made himself the man of sorrows, as Malcolm read to us, acquainted with grief. Do you know what that's like? To be acquainted with grief? So does Jesus. He lived a tougher life than any of us, for us, and then he died our death for us. And this is how he saves us. From within the sphere of our own human frailty and weakness, he lives the life we should have lived, and he dies the death we should have died, so that he might show us how to live, so he might show us how to die, and so he might show us how to live again forever. He is the Saviour, and we can trust him for life and forgiveness. What if the man in that hole looked up one day and saw a speck in the distance descending down into his hole, and down comes a friend who says, "Here I am in your hole with you to pull you up and to save you." What if this man in the hole said to his friend, "No thanks"? Or what if he said to his friend, "I'll tell you what, friend, you tell me what to do." No, he's broken all his arms, hasn't he? "You tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'll climb out. You show me how to climb out and I'll be enough. I can do it." It's the height of silliness, isn't it? And yet this is exactly how many people try to treat the Lord Jesus. Do you? To us is born this day a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. "No thanks. I like my hole. I like the rocks and the puddles." Or maybe, "Okay, but you just tell me how to do it and leave me on my own. I'll be enough." How do you think that works out for people? The good news is that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. And so the very best thing that you and I can do today is to say, "Lord, that's me. You came to save sinners, and a sinner I am." The best thing you can do today is admit that you need Jesus to save you and to teach you to get into your hole. Wherever you are in your life, however low you have gone, however awful you feel, no matter how dark things seem, no matter how bleak the future looks, you can say, "Lord, come into my hole, lift me out, rescue me." And he'll do it because he loves you. How do I do this? How do I trust Jesus? How do I follow him? Or maybe let's not go so far. How do I learn about this new life? How do I check him out? Can I see more? Can I get a free trial to the new life that Jesus offers before I decide whether I want to buy it or not? Well, I won't pass judgment on that sort of thought that I've just said up my own head, but let me put it this way. If you want to look into this, peer into this, and examine it, the best place to do that is from the inside, not from the outside. You can ask me about it, you can ask your Christian friends about it any time, but this is my advice for you. If you want to know more about this new life that Jesus promises that he can give you, try out church. In church, you get to see what Jesus does for people. This year, in this place, sins have been wiped away. This year, in this place, eternal life has been given to people. Guilt has been rubbed off. A new life has been granted. People have been given the gifts of the Holy Spirit and have found a new lease, a purpose in life. They've been set free from all the lies that they're told in the world, set free and given a strength to endure the things that life throws at them, all because they've heard and seen Jesus. Try church and you'll see what Jesus can do from the inside. I don't want to go on too long, but let me say this. Try prayer. Try church and try prayer. I don't know if you're in the habit of this, and if you've never done it before, it can be difficult to know how to start. And so what you do is you find yourself on your own sometime, and you say, Lord, help me pray. And you speak to him. You tell him what's on your mind and on your heart. And you're brutally honest with him. Lord, I don't know about this. God, I don't know about this. Help me, teach me, show me, and he'll do that for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Let's just pray. Let's pray together. Our Lord and God, we thank you for the great love with which you have loved sinners, that you did not come for the goodies, but you came for sinners, even people like us who have fallen so far that we have become terribly confused and really broken and can't help ourselves anymore. You had pity on us. Thank you, Father, for your great love in sending Jesus Christ into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you, O glorious Son, for rising in this world to shed your light and your good news so that any and all may hear and see and believe and be forgiven of all their sins. We thank you for suffering, that our sins may be paid for. Thank you for rising again from the dead to inaugurate a new life for us. We thank you, O blessed Holy Spirit, for your great love and patience in enduring with people like us, in softening our hearts, opening our ears, and bringing us to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can give us eternal life. Thank you, Lord and God, for salvation, for new life, and for teaching us all these things. We ask you, Lord, to teach us and forgive us all of our sins. Help us to trust you, Lord. Give us faith. Give us repentance. Lord, we also ask you for this area of Maesacuma. We remember it often before you, Father, and the surrounding areas too, Ystradmynnach and Cefn Hengoed and further afield. We ask you, Father, for them, that you would hear our prayers and bless them, that you would make them all very happy this Christmas time, that you'd bless their families with peace, that you'd help those who are bereaved and those who are lonely, for those who are cold and bitter, for those who are overcome by grief and guilt and sorrow. Father, for those who are acquainted with grief, we ask your help, your mercy, and your pity, that you would send them good news, even that of the Lord Jesus Christ, who can turn any darkness into light. So bless this place, we pray, with happiness and contentment for Jesus' sake and for our good. Amen. We'll sing to finish 183. 183. 8:3. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. We're singing this one to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1:8:3.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's room was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.